Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. He joins us every Thursday at this time. It's brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, with this Deshaun Watson situation going on, man, all of a sudden it looked like yesterday he was going to be traded. Then he wasn't. Then he was. Then he wasn't. Do you think Deshaun Watson gets traded? Because I think it's kind of hard right now if you're a team to make a trade for Deshaun Watson.
Listen, it's good to be on with you. And no, I do not believe it. I didn't believe it the last time or the time before or the time before that. I understand why the story came out, Bob. I mean, it makes sense, right? The trade deadline is coming up. We're getting close to the end of October. It's almost Halloween. And then the trade deadline's a couple days after that in early November. So I play the game on my show. I was like, who leaked the story? Well, it makes sense for both the Texans and for Deshaun Watson to leak the story, because you keep the name out there and you say the Dolphins are interested, and then maybe you can get some other teams to have a bidding war. But I just think he's so toxic. There's such a high level of toxicity in this world that we live in. Unless the world all of a sudden changed and we've gone back a couple of steps, there's no way. What's going to happen if Deshaun Watson's traded to the Dolphins today? And he shows up, and they give him a uniform and a helmet and pads and say, okay, you're our quarterback, you're going to play. And what's going to happen? He's going to have the corporate sponsors of the Dolphins and the NFL are going to be under siege, saying you can't allow that guy to play. There'll be pressure by the NFL to suspend him. No. I will believe it when I see Deshaun Watson putting on an NFL uniform with the Dolphins or Team X. Until then, I am like you. Yeah. I don't buy it.
I just can't see it happening. I can't see how you sell Deshaun Watson, number one, to your fan base, and number two, as you mentioned, to your sponsors. Once the sponsors start talking about it and saying, hey, we're not supporting a team that's bringing in Deshaun Watson, everything drastically changes. I think from a sponsor standpoint alone, Deshaun Watson is going to be tough to go to any team.
Yeah, well, the sponsors are the thing. Like, I mean, the counter argument, and I've seen, you know, I've heard the counter argument is that, hey, sports fans don't really care. They have no moral compass. They don't really, you know, worry about this kind of stuff. They just, as Al Davis said back in the day, just win, baby, right? You can overlook a lot of things as long as the guy's good. You'll justify it saying it's, you know, it's a conspiracy. There's always the conspiracy, Bob, that the Texans were up behind all this because Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded. And all. So you'll justify it in one way or another. And that might even be true to a point that a lot of fans don't really care. It's just, you know, you want to watch the games and you don't want to worry about politics or whether the guy's a loser and a hoodlum or, you know, a deviant. You just want to watch the games.
Right.
But the sponsors is the part you can't overcome because they will be under attack by special interest groups. And you could argue rightfully so, considering what Deshaun Watson's been accused of. He's not a model citizen based on what he's been accused of.
No doubt. Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio here on 610 Sports Radio. But it also lends a bigger kind of spotlight, I guess, to what the quarterback situation is right now in the NFL. It looks like the Dolphins may already want to be done with Tua. He could have been going to the Redskins or to the Broncos yesterday. And it goes to show you, I think, a little bit, too, that people are willing to grab for Tua, that maybe there's nothing coming out of college this year that people are excited about in the NFL. It sucks to be a team in the NFL and have to try to find your quarterback right now.
Yeah, no, remember when it was tank for Tua, that was the
right
thing?
You
NFL
never
teams
do that.
Were tanking to get Tua, Tagovailoa, as their quarterback, and now he will be sold. If he is traded, and I don't even know if that's going to happen either. I think, I'll believe that when it happens, too. But if Tua is traded, it will be for pennies on the dollar, considering where this guy was at Alabama, on top of the world, when he came in there and was throwing darts all over the field, and now he'll be repackaged for almost nothing. And it is. When you draft a quarterback, you are throwing spaghetti against the wall, seeing if any of the pasta sticks to the wall at this point. Even this year, look at Trevor Lawrence, and he's played a little better lately. He's not that great. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be God's gift, and maybe he will be. The Jets thought they found their guy. I mean, all these guys have been very shaky as rookie quarterbacks.
No doubt. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's more than just, you know, guessing at this point in time. I mean, you have to guess, and then you have to guess right, and then you have to be lucky that you guessed right when it comes to picking a QB in the NFL. Like, guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, just to name a couple, have really, really changed the way I think teams are looking at this quarterback position. And if you don't have one of these top quarterbacks right now, Ben, it's almost like you're in panic mode to try to find that guy.
Yeah, like it's everything's harder. I mean, you can succeed. You can. There's a path to winning, though, with a marginal quarterback. The Rams got to the Super Bowl. I feel like at limits you can get to the Super Bowl, but in order to win it, you have to have an out of body experience, like Nick Foles. When you know Nick Foles, right, not a great quarterback, but the Eagles when they won, he just had an out of body. But outside of that, like week in and week out, you know, I don't think it's just the simpleton's view on this. I think that's just the way it is. If you don't have a great quarterback, it makes everything harder on special teams and defense, obviously, and all that stuff. And you know, next year, here's another, you know, you look at the draft ahead, and not that we want to do an NFL draft segment, but if you look to the NFL draft, every year there's a couple of hot quarterbacks. And next year, the Lions right now would have the number one pick. They need a quarterback, and there'll be somebody that'll be pumped up, and they'll build up this guy before the draft. And then next NFL season, we'll be doing the same thing. What happened? This guy's not that good. What happened?
Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio here on 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs head to Nashville this weekend, and all of a sudden, the Titans are on the radar for me. Like, I wasn't really thinking about them through the first 6 weeks of the season. Then Derrick Henry runs all over Buffalo like he did the other night. This is a pretty big game. I think it's a must-win game for the Chiefs if they want to stay in this playoff conversation, albeit early, but it would be another division winner that they would lose to if they don't get that win in Nashville.
Yeah, it's all about seeding, right? You're looking down the line at seeding, and like the Titans, if they keep winning and there's a lot of winnable games on their schedule, and you're like, you want to be one of those upper seeds, obviously, in the playoffs and all that. But this is actually a good spot as a degenerate gambler. You want to play the team when they get their signature win the week after.
Right.
And for Tennessee, you know how this, Bob, we've all seen the same things. All the talking heads on TV, all the website guys, all the power ranking guys are like, oh, the Titans now, you got to move them up. And they're legit, and they're big time. And so, as Nick Saban likes to say, that's a lot of rat poison that has been given out to the Tennessee Titans. They did look good in the second half. The Buffalo Bills could not stop them, and you wonder how the Chiefs are going to be able to stop the Titans, because the Bills had a great defense, at least statistically, and the Chiefs, you know, their defense is right at the bottom of every category.
Did the Chiefs do anything for you by beating the Washington football team? Did it change your perception of them at all?
No, because Washington blows. So you can't. You can't gain any clout by beating Washington. And that game at halftime, it was anyone's game. They obviously dominated and played very well in the second half, pulling away from Washington. But no, this week, if the Chiefs come back and play a good game and are able to beat the Titans, they'll get a little cachet back this week if they can win that game.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and one of the I don't know if it's a big story of the week, but it's a story that I have enjoyed this week, has been DK Metcalf not knowing who Shannon Sharpe was and attacking Shannon Sharpe on Twitter, only to realize that Shannon Sharpe is a Hall of Famer. Do NFL players, Major League Baseball players, hockey players, basketball players, when they come into the league, do they all need a history 101 on the sport and how we got to where we are?
Well, I remember working with Jim Mora, the old NFL coach, the guy that, you know, playoffs and all that, and he mentioned, like, he was, even those days when he was coaching in the 80s and the 90s, guys were pretty clueless on a lot of the guys. There was always a handful of players that knew everybody, but it makes us, like, I ripped DK Metcalf too, but he was, I think, 7 or 8 years old when Shannon Sharpe played his last NFL game. But you would think, just like looking at the guys, I think Shannon Sharpe's avatar has his gold jacket.
Right.
Like, I think you would look at that and say, well, maybe there's something here.
And
maybe,
a blue check mark,
maybe that
too.
Maybe that is actually legitimate. You know, you'd use, like, the light bulb would go off in your head. Right?
Right.
So that's crazy.
All right, who do you like tonight? We got the Browns and their backup quarterback, their 31st starting quarterback since 1999. Or the Denver Broncos, who stink. This is shaping up to be a delicious game for Fox.
Yeah, this is a ratings winner. This is a ratings winner. I am going with Case Keenum, the backup. I'm going with the Browns without their top two running backs, several offensive linemen, but the Broncos are totally lost right now. Bridgewater is also messed up. I guess he's going to play, but he's not right. And the Broncos have not had a lead in 10 quarters. And their defense that gave up, I think it was like 26 points or something like that the first 3 weeks when they're playing tomato cans, they've now given up an average of 28 points a game since they started playing legitimate NFL opponents. So I'm going with the Browns defense, but it's going to be close. It's going to be ugly and close, but at least it's football, and I have a feeling that Dodger-Braves game in baseball is not going to be that close. So we can focus on the football.
You focus on the football. And, yes, Ben, next time we talk, we're going to be talking about most likely a Braves and Astros World Series.
And I will be supporting the Atlanta Braves. I will do the chop. I am going to. I don't know how to do the chop, but I will do the chop if that's the matchup.
You have to do that, Ben. I appreciate the time today. Enjoy Thursday night football. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Ben Maller brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. Coming up, Andy Reid lets us in on something that's been bothering him since 2019. Find out what that is next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You know, we sit around and make fun of Josh for being old. Binkley, you may be younger than Josh, but you are definitely older than Josh. He just relayed a message to us that he went to the bank yesterday. Who goes to the bank? What are you doing at the bank?
You have to get a savings bond or
something?
Yeah,
like what are you doing at the bank?
There's a lot of things to do at a bank.
Like, what, were you taking out a loan?
Need something notarized, or you need to go and
notarized?
Well, you never know. There's things to do at a bank.
When's
things
the last
to do at a
time
bank.
You use the services of a notary public.
The funny thing is, they shut one down because they can't find workers.
Well,
it's not funny at
bank.
All.
It's not funny, but I'm just saying it's even affecting. I know it's affected your order at a restaurant when you've waited 30 minutes and you're mad.
I haven't gone to a bank in years.
Well, I mean, I like banks.
Why, though?
I don't
know. Are you doing? Tell me what you were doing at the bank.
Is it because they give you those safety pops?
Oh, those are good with the little loop on them. Yeah, those are nice. You get a dog biscuit or something. Like, why were you at the bank?
How'd you know it's not the sperm bank?
Because you said the name of the bank, and you told us.
Because it's you.
And it's you. Nobody's buying yours. Let me ask. Why were you at the bank? What were you doing? Like everything.
I can't tell you that, Bob.
Everything you can do at the ATM. You really can.
I mean, I got a pretty good idea what you were doing at the bank, but...
Were you going to a safety deposit box or something?
I just had business to do.
Business at the bank. Call the help desk.
I mean,
you're unbelievable.
You do call a lot of help desks.
I do. I love help desk.
You are so old. It's not even funny.
No, it's not.
It's like ridiculous.
I still write checks from time to time.
Oh my God.
For what?
What are you paying a check for?
There's like one thing I have that I still write a check
for. What is it?
Oh, it's like some life insurance deal or something.
Well,
like
just
that.
Have them just deduct that from
I do
your,
it with my taxes.
You do? You write a check for the taxes.
I
do that as well, I think, because I don't want the government to take my money until it's the 15th of April.
Exactly.
You're not getting that. I'll give you the check for that. But, I mean, other than that, like, my grandmother used to go to the bank all the time to get her book looked at, right? She had this friend there who, you know, Ruaz is what she called
him. Get her book looked at?
Yeah, like her savings book or whatever to make sure it was all balanced. And she
was old. Up with what they had.
Yeah, gave her something to do. She'd go see Ruaz at the bank and sit there, and he would go through the bank. But I think it gave her something to do, gave him something to do. That's the last time I'd like, well, I need to get down to the bank to make sure that everything is okay. You can look online. You can do direct deposits.
You got all this stuff. Like, but sometimes you have to go to the bank.
The days of the brick and mortar bank, are we closing out accounts and you need cold hard cash to run for the border? Like what are you doing here?
I can't say. It's a secret.
Cashing in rolls business is what it was.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Just go to the supermarket, pay your 8.9%, call it a day. Yeah, call it a day.
Speaking of old,
well,
if
you're going to go to the bank, I'm going to call it the supermarket.
Go down to the market.
Yeah, I'll go down to the market.
Put it in the icebox.
You're going to the bank. I mean, my God, where else do you go that nobody else goes anymore?
You know what's funny, Bob? I even ordered a sandwich one day, and I was paying for it in cash and even put on the thing in cash.
Right.
And it was just $20. It was like, then no, they're gonna
$20 for a sandwich?
No, the sandwich is like $13.
$13 for a sandwich?
Or $12 or something like that. I gave them $20. And they go, thank you. And I said,
Where's the change?
I'm not gonna tip $8 on it. They go, well, we don't have any. And I was like, well, I put cash on the thing.
Yeah.
I said, take the sandwich back.
Yeah. So you sent the delivery driver back?
Absolutely. I sent it back to the store, the sandwich.
So what do they do with that sandwich? They just probably throw it away.
I don't know. I even put on the thing cash because I was sitting there going.
So they thought you were giving them a nice big $8 tip. That's ridiculous.
You can't pay cash anymore.
Send the sandwich back?
Banks, cash. Oh, it's all gone, man.
Well, it is, man. You got to adopt Venmo.
What did you do at that point? I knew you were hungry.
Yeah. So what did you do?
I set up a Venmo, actually.
You did? Just for that.
I'm hip now.
You got Venmo?
Kids say I'm lit.
Wow. Look at you. He's got Venmo. He's still going to the bank. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time I used cash for something either. Like, everything's Venmo now. The smart bartenders in town are now going Venmo for tips.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it, because you are going to get a bigger tip via the Venmo than you will relying on somebody to give you cash.
There's a quarter shortage, too. I heard about that.
Yeah, big shortage out there.
They use them for the car wash. You know?
Yeah, you can use a credit card for the car wash now, too. Yeah, just stick that thing
in
the slot, pull it out.
Man.
All right, you do your thing, Jay. So back in 2019, it was, the Chiefs had just lost a game to the Tennessee Titans. And that was kind of a rock bottom type game for the Chiefs. Remember how that ended in overtime? They used the same snap count on the field goal, and the Titans jumped the snap count, blocked the field goal, and found a way to win that football game. And
Taylor Lewan, huge.
Taylor Lewan was huge in that game, right, for Buffalo. But I think what we're looking at is a game that really resonates with Andy Reid. And I remember when that game was over, watching Andy walk off the field, it looked like he'd just been hit by a Mack truck. And I spoke to somebody who was part of the traveling party at the time after that game. And the response that I got, I'll never forget this, because it kind of carried me for the rest of the way. They said, man, Andy is really wearing this one hard. He believes that he let the team down. It was his fault that they lost the game. He didn't do what he needed to do offensively or in the defense, didn't get the stop that they needed to get. And then obviously the special teams thing happened where they were going on the same snap count. And after the game, the Titans are like, look, we just knew what the snap count was. We jumped the snap count. And so from that standpoint, you know, Andy Reid really wore that loss very, very hard. And I think that loss and that feeling that day has propelled him to where we are right now. I am never going to let my team down. And Andy was asked about it yesterday and really is still bringing back vivid memories of, I think, the game that changed the direction of this franchise.
You know, I didn't handle that right. All said and done, that last call wasn't a very good one. It didn't work. And called a screen. And, you know, we've been running the ball pretty good, so I probably should have just stuck with the run. But that's hindsight. So, but I do remember it very well. Yeah, as far as things going on, I mean, our guys, you know, they bared down. I mean, we all had a piece of it. It was special teams, had the block, and we defense gave up some yardage there right at the end, and we all had a part of it. So, and the guys, you know, we started playing better after that.
They did. They started playing better after that. He coached better after that. Everything came together after that. And Patrick Mahomes says that was a big point of moving forward in 2019 as well.
kind of like this year. I mean, we kind of had our backs against the wall. We kind of had to start winning games at that point, I believe. It was kind of close division race. We wanted to win the AFC West first off. And similar situation now. I mean, we're going in there knowing that it's a tight race, the whole AFC, not just the AFC West. And so we're playing the Titans are coming off a big win and have played great this season. So it'll be a great challenge for us.
And I think Patrick is right about that. I think this game against the Titans is very similar to what we saw back in 2019. And when we heard them say after the win against Washington, enough is enough, kind of reminiscent for the way Andy Reid felt after his worst game coaching in 2019. He said enough was enough. We've got to turn it around. And sometimes it takes, most times it takes really getting down to that rock bottom before you can get back up. And I think where the Chiefs have been playing from a defensive standpoint and an offensive turnover standpoint, I think they've reached that rock bottom. I think the second half was the beginning of the climb back up. And I do believe they're going to take off based on that second half and moving forward and the character involved with this football team.
I do, because that loss kind of carried over in the Mexico City, that Chargers game.
Yeah,
they outgained the Chiefs 312 yards to 109 the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Then something happened at halftime. The Chiefs only allowed 126 yards in that second half. But I think a lot of it, that was the Harrison Butker blocked field goal game.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think Edie's being kind of hard on him. They weren't running the ball that great. They were less than 100 yards running as a team. But I think he's being a little too hard on himself. Well, but that's what managers do.
Yeah, that's what they do. And I just know he wore that one and really was affected by that loss. Most people say more than any other one. I mean, it really did change the way that he approached the rest of the season. And hopefully they can use that as well moving forward this season and use that Washington game as the Tennessee game from 2019. And Patrick Mahomes kind of likes it when their backs are against the wall.
I think it's just we get the best out of each other every single day at practice. You have to go in with that mindset of we have to get better and better. I mean, obviously, we want to win every single week. We want to win every single day, but you have to get better and better in order to be where you want to be at the end of the season. And we're going to play another great football team early in the schedule, so I'm excited for the guys to see what we've become as the season's going on.
You know, the opportunity does present itself because this is the week where a lot of folks are going to be in or out on the Chiefs. If they lose this game, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people nationally that are saying, all right, it's over. They're not going back to the playoffs. They win this game this week. Okay, now you've strung two together for the first time this season. You found a way to beat a really good football team, and you held down a running back, because I think that's the key to winning this game. If they win this game, we're going to be talking about Derrick Henry and the fact that the Chiefs were able to hold him down. Even though he's in studio with us, we're still doing our three quickies with Bink. You going to get him on the phone?
You to call me while I'm in studio?
We'll call you while you're in studio. All right, number one, was the second half in Washington, Jay, a turning point for the Chiefs season?
I think so. I was saying it on the postgame show that night. It's crossroads. Which direction do you go? All those hot takes people ready to bury the Kansas City Chiefs, they couldn't use. And I think the Chiefs like that role. Backs against the wall, like Mahomes said. It's how they live. The Chiefs are the team you can't knock out. They're the frustrating MMA fighter. You think you got them knocked out, and you can't knock the team out. Yeah, I think that motivates them for the rest of the year.
Cheat Congo, that's who that fighter was.
Number two.
All right, was swapping Sorensen for Thornhill the real difference in that game?
Like I say, it made all the difference. I think it made a little bit of a difference. I think that and Rimmers just do it because there's little things they can do. Not much they can do outside of going out and getting a Whitney Merciless that went to the Packers. Yeah, I mean, I think it gave him a little bit of attitude, gave him a little more speed in the secondary, and Juan Thornhill was beat on a pass, but he made his presence known coming up, helping out in the running game and everything else, making tackles. I thought it was a good move.
Number three.
What's your favorite country song, Jay? The Chiefs are in Nashville this week.
Yeah. Country and Western place.
That's where country simple. Music's made.
Very simple. Long Neck Ice Cold Beer Never Broke My Heart by Luke Combs. My favorite one. Because the second line, like diamond rings and football teams have torn this boy apart. It's all encompassing that song with me. I even have a little sign on my wall with the beer opener with these lyrics on it. You know what song I'm talking about,
you still
about,
hang
Drew?
Posters in your bedroom at mom's?
You know what song I'm talking about, don't you?
No.
No, there ain't much man that ain't ever let me down. Long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart.
It's a good one.
Like diamond rings and football teams have torn this boy.
That one.
Yeah. Why'd you stop it so early? That was good.
We were going with that.
Yeah, I get it.
Let that play out to break.
So it is a personal one for you. Diamond rings and football teams have torn your heart apart.
Absolutely. Long neck high school beard never let you down.
Never does.
Ever.
I realize it's not therapy here.
Yeah. Which has torn your heart apart more, diamond rings or football teams?
All of it does. You guys want to do therapy? Bringing the couch?
What was harder for you, one of your divorces or the Chiefs losing the Super Bowl?
Well, I think anytime you're divorced nine times, but I think football teams let me down more than anybody.
Yeah. Are you going to have it in your obituary that the Chiefs are going to let you down one more time?
One more time, baby. That's the pallbearers.
Yeah. That's why you're going to have all the Chiefs as your pallbearers so they can let you down one more time?
One more time.
Are you going to put in your obituary when you pass away? Any of you that you were a big Chiefs fan? I see a lot of these obituaries that have that kind of stuff.
No, but the best one ever was that Steelers fan. It's not funny he passed away, but...
Well, everybody dies, Jay.
His visitation was because his casket... had his like living room in it. He was in his recliner. Instead of the casket, was sitting in his recliner in front of a TV at the church to symbolize how he lived his life. There's like Steelers pennants and everything else.
That's kind of cool. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they put his corpse in the recliner.
That's creepy, but kind of cool.
It should be noted, too, that extensive alcohol use can lead to cardiomyopathy, Jay.
I did not know this.
That's bad for your heart.
Somebody text that and let you know.
You must have a bad, bad heart.
I probably do.
You say he drinks a lot?
He does. Okay. Yeah, like a fish.
Sorry to disagree.
I don't think fish drink, do they?
Oh, yes, they
Who
do.
Knows?
All that water they're swimming in, you better believe it.
Are they drinking the water? I thought they were just breathing in the...
filter out all the stuff.
They drink where they pee.
Yeah, they are the animal that does do that. That is three quickies with Binkley. Coming up, we're going to try to shout it out. We don't know if the text line is working.
It's not.
It's not working today.
I'm just going to make some stuff up.
All right, we'll make some stuff up for shout it out. If you want to shout it out, call Ryan at 913-576-7610.
Should we just take calls?
Why don't we? And why don't we try something different? What the hell? The text line's not working. So if you want to shout it out, 913-576-7610.
I banned everybody. It finally worked.
The telephone number. And this athlete says, I'm not playing another 10 years, to which we say, kind of not buying it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Couple of moments, we're going to give you the opportunity to shout it out. We're going to do it different today because the text line is busted. So we're going to have you call and shout it out. Do a live version of shout it out to 913-576-7610.
Are we just going to answer the phones live on the air or do I have to screen them?
I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like I should probably screen them. We only have like 14 seconds of dump button.
That is true. We probably should screen those calls. So if you want to get in during Shout It Out, 913-576-7610, or we will make them up. Either way, we are doing Shout It Out coming up in a couple of minutes here on 610 Sports Radio.
Got to pay them bills.
You do. Got a sponsor, man. My guys over at Jay Southland Tow are counting on it this morning. All right, let me ask you this. Do you believe anything that Tom Brady says? What did he say? He lies 99% of the time or something like that, right?
It was a lot. Yeah.
Between 90 and 100% of the time. I mean, he said that he lies every time, right? He's like Sex Panther. It works 70% of the time, all the time. And so Tom Brady, every time he speaks, I think now all of our antennas go up. And when the radar goes up, and you're like, are we really believing what Tom Brady's got to say on this one? Well, Tom Brady was asked the other day on the Let's Go podcast. You going to play another decade there, Thomas?
I'm not going to play for another 6 to 10 years. What? And I think my point was physically, it's I feel like I've done a great job in order to put myself in a position to play as long as I want physically. But emotionally, I realize, you know, there's a lot of things that take away from my time and energy. And I think, you know, spending time with my family, and I'm going to play as long as I can. And, you know, when I feel like I'm not a championship level quarterback and I'm able to prepare at a championship level, then I'll try something different.
So that's Tom Brady telling the podcast, Let's Go podcast, that he is not going to play another 6 to 10 years. I don't know if I believe him or not. I like his reasoning when I realize that I'm not a championship quarterback anymore. But what gives you any kind of pause right now to say Tom Brady is not a championship quarterback. The man is the reigning Super Bowl champion, and he's playing very well already this season.
Well, he's got more touchdown passes after he turned 30, and obviously he's in the 40s now, right. 44 than he did when he's in his 20s. He just he's actually thrown his hardest
pass. He's getting ready to close in on like 600 touchdowns.
He's thrown his hardest pass in his career this year in the NFL, you know, the advanced metrics and everything else.
Oh, he keeps getting better.
Well, I'm just saying he keeps getting better, and he keeps getting stronger, and it's really weird to see, and people have wrote this guy off for years,
right?
Including going back to 2014 when they lost 41-14 to the Chiefs.
Yeah,
they thought it might be time that he was done.
That was seven years ago.
Yeah, and then he won three more Super Bowls since then.
Right. So I don't necessarily buy the fact that he's not going to play another 6 to 10 years. I don't know, Ryan, where you stand, but like I'm just penciling him in until he legitimately walks away.
It's weird to me because like 10 years ago when Tom Brady said, "I want to play for another 10 years," I was like, "I don't believe you.
Right?
I don't believe you could do that. You might make it to 38, 39. I don't think this is going to happen." Then Drew Brees and him both passed 40, right?
Right.
And now he's at 44, and it just occurs to me, like, when he says this now, I'm like, I don't believe you again. Like, I think you do have 50 in mind. Like, I think Tom Brady wants to play till he's 50.
It's only six and more years now.
I know he's said in the past that he'll stop playing when he starts sucking. I don't see that coming anytime soon.
Some of the quality quarterbacks in this NFL.
My God, Tom Brady right now. Tom Brady at 50 is probably better than three quarters of the league right now with their starting quarterbacks. I mean, you take out the great ones that we know about.
You've got a team where they trade three draft picks for a guy with 22 allegations.
Right, exactly.
Tom Brady
at 50 or whatever Miami has. I'm taking Tom Brady at 50, right? You know, you're looking at the Jets right now. They got a young kid, but I'd still take Tom Brady at 50 over Zach Wilson. I mean, I'm just saying, right?
No, of course.
Denver Broncos would take Tom Brady at 50 versus whatever they have at the quarterback position right now. So there are teams out there. The Lions probably would take him. I would imagine the Steelers going forward would take Tom Brady at 50 versus, you know, Ben Roethlisberger continued to be rolled out there because he doesn't look that good right now. Maybe the Eagles would decide to take Tom Brady, you know?
Denver move, man. It's completely a Denver move.
It sounds like a Denver move. I mean, there are plenty of teams out there. Houston right now would take a 50-year-old Tom Brady over what they have right now at that quarterback position. So there is still a lot of teams out there that would benefit from 50-year-old Tom Brady on their roster versus what they have. Let's shout it out. You're going to call in today because the text line is busted. 913-576-7610. It's all brought to you by J Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best. Ryan, what do we got?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. We got Detroit Derek on the line. What's up, Detroit Derek?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going today? How you doing, Bob?
Good. Good to hear from
Better
you.
Better than my
line. Yeah, no kidding. Yes.
What do you call a can opener that doesn't work?
What?
A can't opener.
That's good. It got me. 913-576-7610. You're going to call in and do a live version of Shout It Out. Who's up next?
Let's see. We got Clay. Clay, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, I'm going to date myself here a bit. I just moved down here from Nebraska, but when I grew up, I watched the Omaha, Kansas City Kings play. So my question is this. Will Kansas City ever get another NBA team or an NHL team?
I've always been on the line of no because the arena makes too much money and we don't have an owner.
And they're going to have to update it because it's getting old.
And by the time they get, that arena would open in like 07, right? Yeah. I mean, we're talking about an arena now that is, you know, pushing 20
it's
years.
It's
going to
be updated,
Oh, we got this great new arena. You do
it's
realize
not new
it's
anymore.
Like 15 years old now, right? Next year, it's 15 years old.
By the time 15. They get a team, it would be 20.
Yeah, probably. Right, exactly. So you got to have an owner, and the arena right now, up until COVID, with all the different events that they had, making more money hand over fist.
You need another one.
They don't really want the team. Who's up next, Ryan?
Justin and KC, what's going on, dude?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'd like to give a shout-out today to Molly Blackwell, and I'd like to say thanks for sticking it out with David through all his health issues in his eye patch phase. Not very becoming either. So thanks, Molly, for sticking it out with him.
Damn, I didn't know David also had an eye patch.
What did he have? Fissures the other day, right?
Yeah, anal fissures. He had some fungus going
right?
on.
And now an eye
regions.
Patch. Yeah, all right.
Well, Molly, you're a saint.
Molly is absolutely a saint. Who do we have next?
J-Rock is up next. What's up, J-Rock?
What up, fellas? on this good day, October 21st, 1984, a good guy by the name of J-Rock was born.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Appreciate it. Go Chiefs. Let's get it.
You got it, my man. Happy birthday to you. I love the self-birthday shout-out, because if you're not going to shout yourself out for your birthday,
might as well.
Ain't nobody else going to do that for you. So happy birthday to our man, J-Rock. Get a win in Nashville for my dude's birthday.
I got a dad joke for you.
All right.
Why do they call weddings a three-ring circus?
Why?
Engagement ring, wedding ring, suffering.
Hey, the text line's working now.
Oh, it is? Is it really?
We're getting texts from like 2 hours ago.
Oh, no.
Conversation we had at 6 o'clock,
yeah. Yeah, we're getting stuff about Whataburger. Yeah, we did that in the 6 o'clock
75, hour, I heard Bink on Bink at Night yesterday. Does he live at the station?
He does. Actually, Binkley does have a house.
Like, you live like 15 minutes from here.
It's but he has.
Second home.
What am I looking for here? A home in level one. Level one is pretty empty here at this building. Yeah. Binkley has built a room down there. They just don't know about it.
Oh, is that what that mannequin in the hallway was for?
That's right.
I've done some upgrades to it.
Did you get that shower installed?
I have the shower. Yeah. Put some new carpeting in. Actually, it looks really good.
Looks good. They don't know about it, but you're doing it, right?
Yeah, it looks nice.
All right. Anything else from the text line that all of a sudden is working?
I think these are all 2 hours ago. Yeah. It's just like slowly working.
They are really popping in.
I did pull up some very good dad jokes, though. Would you like to hear some of
them? Yeah, I'll hear one. Yeah.
Do you know why you always take an extra pair of socks when you go golfing?
Why?
In case you get a hole in one. Binkley really enjoyed that.
Actually did.
Yes, he did.
It's so corny, it's funny.
What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie?
I don't know.
So fishsticated.
I don't want to laugh at that one.
Didn't land.
You're going to.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
That's all I got. I'm not gonna waste my time here.
There you go. There you go. That is Shout It Out, brought to you by Jay Southlanteau. A live version of it this morning here on 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Well, there's always room for a bright spot, right? You don't want to have everything so negative. Like, you know, usually the feedback that you get on anything, whatever it is, if you open something up for feedback, you say, give us the feedback. Nobody ever has anything positive to say, right? Mm-hmm. Text line, Twitter, all that kind of stuff.
It was very positive because it wasn't open today.
Right, that's right. Everybody's in a good mood. Like, all right, nobody's complaining on the text line right now, right? Well, somebody is because, you know, the college basketball, they say, is exciting, and we don't think so.
Riveting.
Riveting. It's great stuff. But 6 weeks into the football season, right? 6 weeks into this season, the NFL loves this parity thing that they talk about all the time, right? It's true. It does. It's great. It's great for the sport to feel like no matter where you are, except Cleveland, that you got an opportunity to win a Super Bowl every year, right? Yeah. Or Detroit. Yeah, they're probably about two places. But most places in the NFL, you can wake up on opening day saying, if things go right, we could potentially sneak into the playoffs. Like, everybody feels like they have a fighting chance to get into the postseason in the NFL. 6 weeks into the season, we begin week 7 tonight with that thriller in Cleveland. Case Keenum and the Browns taking on fill-in-the-blank quarterback and the Denver Broncos today. Thrilling game for the NFL. But did you know right now each conference only has 6 teams with a winning record in it? 6 teams in the AFC, 6 teams in the NFC have winning records. That's well less than half of the National Football League. I think that is absolutely insane. But what's good about that, from where we sit right now, sitting at 3-3, Jay, it shows that this league doesn't have a dominating team right now and that everything is still up for grabs. I know the Cardinals are 6-0, but do they scream the best team in the NFL to you right now? I don't know that they do. It's hard to trust the Cardinals. Who does scream we're the best team in the NFL right now? Because we've seen the Bills beat the Chiefs but lose to the Steelers, right? We've seen the Titans beat the Bills but lose to the Jets. We see the Ravens beat the Chiefs and lose to the Raiders. So, like, this thing right now is still so wide open. Any given Sunday is truer now maybe than it's ever been before. And so when you're looking around the league as a whole right now, with the Chiefs being where they are, they're still right in the thick of it, and there really hasn't been a team that has asserted itself as that dominating team right now in the NFL. Had Buffalo won that game against Tennessee, I'd be thinking, okay, maybe the Bills, but they've got two losses now on the season, okay? They've got two losses. Yeah, they beat the Chiefs very handily, and that's a big win for them, but they still have two losses on the season right now. And so while we're sitting here and licking our wounds and going, man, 3-3, are we going to be able to get this thing done? There's nobody out there right now that's dominating this league, and I think that's a good thing for the Chiefs right now.
Every team's got a flaw. That's why I put the Chiefs as number two in the AFC, because I can make an argument against anybody. Even Baltimore, sitting there with the best record in the AFC. You mentioned that, you know, they lose the Raiders. True. It took a 66-yard NFL record field goal to beat the Detroit Lions.
Right.
This is what the NFL does. Everybody's got the same amount of money to spend. It's the creativity. How good is your coach? How good is your quarterback? How good is your front office? That's the one thing that separates teams in the NFL. It's like when Marty was here. You know, he would, that first place schedule wouldn't do it till the next year. Then he'd get that schedule. But that's how the scheduling's done. Yes. Everybody plays the same conference in the AFC, same division, and in the NFC as well. But there's those two miscellaneous games.
Yeah, there's just two games.
The teams
now,
are going to have. Now it's three games that are miscellaneous in the NFL. But it depends. Is it going to be a home game? Going to be a road game? Like, the NFL tries to put things because they want you all to be just a few games over 500. It's kind of how they do things because everybody's working with the same slate. But well, they've definitely created parity.
They really have. And I think, obviously, it's a good thing for this league because it gives everybody the opportunity each and every week. The other thing that we're experiencing now in the NFL, and last year I understood why this was the case, but this year it's even more mind-blowing. Do you realize the home field advantage is no longer a thing in the National Football League? Like, home field advantage does not matter in this league right now. And that's good going down to Tennessee this week. And you don't have to say, well, home field advantage. Home teams are 44-50 this year. They're six games under 500 at home.
It's the trend the last couple of years. As a matter of fact, last year was the first year since the merger that road teams had a winning record.
Yeah, and you could make
Which made sense
that there's no fans yeah. And it didn't really matter where you were playing those games. But now that we're back in venues with crowds, we're still seeing it kind of trend in that direction right now. And six games below 500 at home, that is a wow moment for me, because you would always say in the NFL, win half your games on the road and own home field, go 8-0 at home, 9-0 at home now, whatever it is, and go 4-4 and split on the road, you're going to make it into the postseason. Teams aren't even doing that anymore at home. They're not going undefeated anymore at home. Teams aren't scared to go into environments anymore on the road, and it's showing right now in the standings. Another example about how this parity has been created in the NFL, where once home field advantage used to matter, now it just doesn't anymore.
You know, Chiefs 17-3 on the road the last two seasons, plus the games that they're in now. 17-3, very impressive.
That's great.
And one thing about it is, nowadays people are so angry. They turn on their team, they boo their team. If you're a road team, you can have a little fun, get up on the team, make them boo their home team.
Sure.
That's worse. That's
we saw that in New York last week with the Giants, and Leonard Williams is all mad that they're booing the team. You guys are 1-5. What did
getting
you expect?
Booed at home is worse than playing on the road.
Oh, God, yes.
And everybody's they're ready to boo. Can you imagine what would happen at halftime at Arrowhead? Even at Arrowhead, if the Chiefs were down 13-10 to Washington at halftime, how do you think that crowd would have been with
not
the Chiefs?
Good. Not good.
Exactly.
They would have shouldn't been. Be.
But they should have been, but that's what the home team would have seen.
Right.
And they're not used to seeing that, but more and more people will get on the home teams, and I think that's fun for the visitor. Hey, let's take them out. Let's make them turn on their
sure.
team.
There's really no room for error anymore if you're a team in the NFL. The minute you make that mistake, the minute you throw that interception, even if you are at home, fans are ready to boo and ready
everybody's
to get
so
on
mad
you.
Hit Twitter.
Yeah, right, like man. But if they're booing you in the stadium, that is juice for the opposing team. That is big-time juice. Oh, the fans are booing them? All right, let's continue to do this. Let's continue to make this snowball downhill and find a way to make them boo again. And so if you can do that and you can get the home crowd to kind of flip on the home team, you got yourself an advantage. But there is no advantage right now. The road team actually has an advantage this year in the National Football League. One thing that I think is kind of trending in the right direction for the Chiefs, and I know fans don't want to hear this, and I'm sure Andy Reid doesn't like to hear this at all, but when you look at the percentage of explosive plays that the teams are running entering this week, 20 plus yards is what's considered an explosive play in the NFL. And for Kansas City, only 8.4% of their pass plays are explosive plays. That's in like the top 12, lowest in the National Football League. And I actually think, Jay, that is a good thing, and it is trending in the right direction, because in my opinion, this year, and I've been saying it probably since about week two with this football team, you have to stop trying to go for the big play. The teams are eliminating the big play, and the big play also puts your defense back out on the field a lot quicker than having a methodical drive down the field. And I know we got accustomed to 45 yards here, 60 yards there, 72 yards there, 55 yards here. We got accustomed to these big plays happening like it was going out of style with the Chiefs, but they're trending in the other direction, and I think that's good right now for where this team is and the way that this team is built and the way that this team is playing right now. I don't need the explosive play, and quite honestly, Jay, with the way that they're defending this team, I don't need them to go out there and try to go for the explosive play, because right now, that's just not there. And by trending in this direction to a smaller percentage of plays being explosive for the Chiefs, it means they've realized internally we've got to do things different, and that gets me excited as a fan because they're evolving as the season has gone along.
No question about it. You take a guy like Derek Carr, he leads the NFL in most passes over 20 yards. Okay, It's Derek Carr. I mean, who cares? Tennessee, they struggle in the intermediate routes with teams run, so the kind of wheelhouse of the Kansas City Chiefs, just showing that you can evolve. If you're going to take away the deep ball, the Chiefs are going to kill you in the intermediate game. They're going to do that. They're going to find a way to exploit your weakness, and you become a more well-around offense. Listen, I love big plays. Everybody likes the big plays. But the team that can methodically move the football down the field and do what you can. Look, the Chiefs have the
death
best.
Death by 1,000 paper cuts, I think, is the slogan
they're
that they
60%
use.
On third down, meaning this team moves the
chains. That's great.
The second closest team to in the NFL is the Bills at 50%. Yeah. It's 10% different.
That's huge.
They get third down percent because they move the chains, whether it's playing small ball, whether it's doing whatever. But they are moving, and they're maximizing their possessions. They're averaging 3.7 points per drive, more than anybody in the NFL. So even with the intermediate stuff, you say, well, I like when the Chiefs score points. Well, they're scoring 30 a game.
Yeah, they're still scoring a ton of points.
And in the NFL, and they're kind of in a historical pace for points per drive, it's where the Chiefs are, even with playing this way.
Every field goal is, or every drive, I should say, they're getting more than a field goal in points. That's pretty good. Nobody else is over 3+ points per drive.
Buffalo's
other than
at 284.
Yeah, Buffalo's behind them. Nobody has crushed the 3-point per drive plateau like the Chiefs have. And so when I see that number's down, when I see that they're kind of in the lower end of explosive plays, I'm okay with that. I don't need to see the explosive play. And you know what else I don't really need to see from this team right now? Them trying to get the explosive play when it's not there. There's no reason to go out there and try to force it. And I think in years past, maybe we've seen Andy Reid kind of force some things and try some things like the Titans game from 2019 that he's still thinking about and talking about how he didn't coach his best, in that game. I think when you get to that point and you can realize that something isn't there and you don't try for it anymore, that's a really good thing. Can just continue to go with the intermediate stuff. Give the ball to Darrell Williams. Hit your tight end. Slants over the middle. Slower movement down the field is good for this team, and I think it's going to benefit them in the long run.
Yeah,
you
go low to sleep, then you go over the top.
And that's when you can go over
the
top.
That's when Tyreek
Hill
goes downfield.
Right, but you
got to
get your running game going. Your running game goes. They got to bring guys up to the line of scrimmage. Then you can go up over the top, and then I don't have a problem with it. But I think the way that Andy Reid has coordinated this offense this year, and again, it's not his fault that the team is turning the football over. That's on Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's ever had fumbles and whatnot this year. That's on them to not turn the ball over. I think this has been the best Andy's coordinated this offense since he's been here in Kansas City. They're scoring at an alarming rate, and he's doing things differently than he has done. I love what this team is doing from an offensive standpoint. Coming up, there's a major rumor out there about an NFL quarterback. We'll update you on it next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.